I said that. Valentine's Banquet is this Friday at 6:30. If you need some help watching your children, Miss Joyce Tate to do that. And we'll be here at the church at 5:15. So you can bring your children here and she will take care of them. Amen? Hallelujah. Appreciate her being willing to do that. And praise the Lord. All right. Philippians chapter number 2 is where we're at. We've been preaching a series on the mind and the wondrous gift that Jesus and God has given to us concerning the mind. Last week, we spent much time in Philippians chapter 2, because in verse number 5, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, in verse number 5, as we looked at last week, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We looked at the mind of Christ, and we looked at how Jesus understood and had a wonderful mindset as he took upon himself or made himself of no reputation. Now, we talked about and discovered that while Jesus had a reputation everywhere that he went, he did not make it about himself. He made it all about God. And that is what we are to do. While he did not have a reputation about himself, but of God, he also took upon himself the form of a servant and came to serve here, and was made in the likeness of men as he humbled himself, as the Bible tells us, being found in the fashion of man in verse number 8. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I want to concentrate a little bit more on verse number 5 this week than what we did last week. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And I want to preach a message entitled this morning, "Make Up Your Mind." Make up your mind. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you. We thank you for the opportunity to even have to be able to think in any capacity, Father. But mostly, we thank you for being able to have the ability to think like Christ and to have the same mind of Christ and to be in agreement with your word. And Father, I would ask this morning that as we spend this brief time here, God, that we would be able to make up our minds. Father, for some things are somewhat of a difficult decision in our lives, and we're faced with those. And Father, I pray that this decision would not be a difficult one, but God, may it be easy. May it be pleasant. May it be one that is chosen for every day of our lives. Help us this day in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right. Well, there's one important word there right in the very beginning of verse number 5. And it's not a very big word. It's rather a very small word that sometimes we can overlook the small words. Sometimes we overlook words like in and of and but and those types of words. And here's a little three-letter word in verse number 5. The word is let. L-E-T, let. Now, this is signifying here in this that you have an option. Amen. I'm grateful for options. I mean, can you imagine if you had no options today? I mean, everything was decided for you. Some of you say, man, that sounds pretty good. I don't think we would enjoy it too much. I mean, imagine if for the next year you had one choice of beverage, and it was prune juice. How many of you feeling that one? One? Anyone else? Prune juice. Only thing. Two. One and a half, maybe. Okay. So, I don't know, Bob. I think after about 3 weeks, you'd be like, cleaned out, possibly. I wasn't going there, but so glad you did. I was thinking more you would just be tired of it. You know, every time you had to have beverage, prune juice. Now we have, I mean, countless beverage choices, don't we? I mean, my goodness. We can go to Walmart or Winn-Dixie or Publix and just stand in the aisle and think, man, what do I want? And sometimes it gets confusing with all these choices. Wow. I mean, there's hundreds of choices that we can choose from. I think sometimes we have even choice overload from time to time. We have so many choices, we don't know what to pick, and we stand there again like, I don't know what to pick. Choice overload. But here, it's signifying that there is a choice. So let's talk about this word let for just a moment. It's a very simple word, but it just means to permit. To permit and to allow. Or to give power to by action. Pretty good there. So when we consider this word let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That means I'm going to allow this mind. I'm going to choose. I'm going to permit. I'm going to give power to this mind by action. What action can I put in my place that I'm going to let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus? You see, it's a choice. And in this, as I look through and I consider for a moment what Jesus's choices were. Now, in verse number 6, we find that the Bible says, who, talking about Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So Jesus was thinking. Jesus had a mind. Jesus had thoughts. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, when I look through and I see the life of Christ throughout Scripture, I see a life that was filled with joy. Jesus was a person who was filled with joy in his life. Now, the Bible has much to say about joy, and I want to submit to you this morning, first off, that joy is a choice. It's a choice. And it's a choice that you and I make. I want you to hold your place here in Philippians, because we're going to come back to it. If you have one of those hanging down thingies there, put it right there in Philippians chapter 2. And go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs. I want you to see a few verses here that talk about our joy and how our joy is something that you and I can choose. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 15. But I, again, want you to be thinking along this line here, how joy is a choice. In verse number 22, in chapter 15, the Bible says, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Verse 23 says, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it?" A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Now, you may or may not realize this, but you know everything that we speak, we choose to speak? Yeah. Now, there have been times, many times in my life, where sometimes I will say something, and I'm like, try to put it back in. Some of you can identify with me on that. But the fact of the matter is, we chose to say whatever it is we said. Joy is a choice. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? You see, the words that we speak, we can bring joy to other people's lives by the things that we say. I want you to go over to the next book in Ecclesiastes. Solomon's still writing here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we're talking about joy, how it is a choice. He says in verse number 10 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, actually go back to verse number 9, he says, "So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor." He says, hey, everything I did, I took joy in. My labor, when I turned around and finished and said, hey, this job is done, he said, I found joy in this. You see, joy was a choice. When you drop down to verse number 26, he says, "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit." If joy is a choice, then how do we get it from God? We're getting there. Just hold on. But he says, "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but notice this, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up." Now, we have a choice here, and this is really what this is saying. When we make wise choices, when we make good choices, there is wisdom given, there is knowledge given, and with those things come joy. But when we choose to sin, there's travail, there's gathering, there's a heaping up, that he may give to them that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Once you go to chapter 9 of the same book, Ecclesiastes, we're setting a pattern here. In verse number 7, he says very simply, he says, "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works." Again, go thy way, eat the bread with joy. Joy is coming about out of things that we do. You see, joy is an emotion. It comes and goes with the circumstances of life. It comes and goes as we make choices in our lives. When we make the proper choice, that fulfills us, and joy comes with it. I want you to flip over to the book of John. John chapter number 15. Jesus is speaking. Again, I told you, when we go through the scripture, when we go through the Gospels, and we look at the life of Christ, when we look at the choices that he made, Jesus was always full of joy. He had this joyfulness about him. And we find this in John chapter 15. In verse number 10, he says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Let me say this. Joyousness, whichever you want to say it, it is something that is contagious. It's contagious. And it is so contagious that if you get around somebody that has joy, they're probably and very likely to infect you with joy, that you will have joy. I don't want no stinking joy. Don't breathe your joy on me. I want none of it. That's how we act sometimes. But joy is contagious, and that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, pretty simply, he says, "If you abide in my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." You see, we do just the opposite. We want to love as people love us. That's not very fair. That's what we're thinking in this. They treated me this way, I'm going to treat them this way. As a matter of fact, I'm going to treat them worse than the way they treated me. That's not what Jesus said here. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." When we love one another, we spread joy. Joy is a good thing. We can help bring joy to others. Look at this. John chapter 16, one page over. I'm showing you a lot of scripture here, I know, and hope you're staying with me here. John chapter 16, verse number 24. He says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive," what? "That your joy may be full." God wants us to have joy. Jesus wants us to have joy. We can have joy. Look at 2 Corinthians. I'm showing you a lot of scripture here. 2 Corinthians, we're going fast. So stay with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hey, we have the option. We have the choice today to share joy with one another. How many have ever read through the book of 1 Corinthians? It's a harsh book. Can I just tell you that, if those of you that haven't read through it? It's harsh. I mean, the church at Corinth was a church that they didn't know a whole lot. They didn't have 1 Corinthians before they got 1 Corinthians. And so the things that Paul is telling them, he's pretty harsh with them. And he just says, "Look, you can't do this." You know, sometimes we go out and it's kind of like this. If you see a child in the street, what does your heart do if it's your child or any child, really? I mean, it starts racing, doesn't it? And you might run out there and you might grab them and get them off the street and say, "I've told you to stay out of the street!" And you yell at them. Right? Now, later, you know, then you say, "Go get in the house, go to your room, I've told you to stay out of the street so many times, you're going to get hit by a car." We don't want them to get hit by a car. Amen. Well, Paul in 1 Corinthians, he's telling them, "I don't want you to get hit by a car," spiritually speaking. Now, cars weren't there in that time, so he probably wasn't saying get hit by a car. I don't want you to get hit by a mule. They had during those times. But the principle still applies. You're in danger, and if you don't get out of danger, you're going to be in danger. Get out of it. And so that was the book of 1 Corinthians. Well, now Paul has had some time to think about 1 Corinthians. And now he's writing 2 Corinthians. But he's writing it with a much different approach than he wrote 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, verse number 20. He says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand." Continuing to chapter 2. He said, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh glad but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all." Now hold on a second. Now again, you have to understand what happened in 1 Corinthians to understand what's happening here in 2 Corinthians. He's saying here that I'm not saying I have dominion over you or any of that of your faith. It wasn't Paul that determined their faith. But what he says is, "But we're helpers of your joy." Can I tell you the number one joy robber in your life is sin? Amen. The reason many of us today don't have joy in our life is because we've allowed so much sin to come in, we've emptied ourselves of joy. We've just emptied ourselves of it. We're no longer full of joy, we're no longer any of that. But the Bible tells us that we can be the helpers of one another's joy. Jesus said that was our purpose, was to help one another's joy. Joy is a choice. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, while I go through and I see Jesus had a life of joyfulness, and his joyfulness was contagious, and the Bible explains to us again that joying is a choice. It's really, I guess, it's more of a byproduct of a choice. Okay? Joy is what happens when we make the right choices. It's contagious. It spreads as we love people. Now, there's something else that I don't see in the life of Christ. I don't remember coming through, reading, where Jesus was grouchy. Now, I learned something about this word grouchy. It's really not that old of a word. It's definitely not a Bible word, because it's not found in our Bible, the word grouchy. So I started thinking about grouchiness and how grouchiness is often a choice as well. And so I looked up that word, grouchy, and here is what it said. Very first entry. Are you ready? irritable. Irritable. It goes on to say, and bad-tempered. Then it says, grumpy. Then the last entry was complaining. Grouchy. Irritable and bad-tempered, grumpy and complaining. Okay. And I started thinking about that. Okay. Irritable. I will tell you, I can get irritable sometimes. Amen, dear. Just say it. Irritable. Now, here is what irritable means. This one was a little more convicting. Irritable, bad-tempered, grumpy, complaining. Then when you go to irritable, just going to use this one here. Very susceptible to anger. Now, I said earlier that the thing that is most against our joy is sin. But can I come to this and say the number one enemy of our joy is our grouchiness? Our irritableness, our grumpiness, our bad tempers. Now the Bible, while it never says the word grouchy, it does have much to say about anger. It has much to say about being angry. I want you to go back to Proverbs again. I'm not going to show you as many verses here because these are powerful enough in and of their own selves. Now remember, Jesus gave us a commandment. He said what? Love one another, right? As I've loved you. That was His commandment. Love one another as I've loved you. That means we're going to be friends with those that we love. Well, love one another. Be friends with them. But hold on a second. In Proverbs chapter 22, the Bible says this. In verse number 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. Hold on a second. Hold on. Be friends, love one another, and all of that. It's good stuff because joy is contagious. But can I tell you what else is contagious? Is grouchiness. Oh, yeah. It's contagious. Why do you think the Bible says make no friendship with an angry man? And with a furious man thou shalt not go. I'll tell you, anger breeds anger. Every time. It's kind of like sharing the same cup with somebody that has the flu. Use the same napkins. Come on. You say, Pastor, we went from joy to grouchiness. Stop it. Well, I'm really not trying to be a downer here. I'm just saying grouchiness is contagious. And probably more so than what joy is. Because grouchiness will rob and steal and end and take away and deplete and destroy joy faster than anything else that I'm aware of. And that's why the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. Continue there. It says, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Wow. Proverbs chapter 29 says, an angry man stirreth up strife. Proverbs 29 verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Right after this, check this out. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You see this? An angry man stirreth up strife, And a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A furious man is always in transgression. And a man's pride shall bring him low. Hold on a second. Didn't the Bible say something about Jesus being humble? It wasn't Jesus' pride that humbled him. He humbled himself because he understood who he was. It wasn't his pride that did it. Again, he humbled himself. I told you there are times where I've been humbled, but by my pride have I been humbled. An angry man stirreth up strife, always causing problems. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." Did you get that? Ecclesiastes 7, 9, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." And may I remind you what the Bible says about the fool? The fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God." You see, both of these here that we have joy over here, it is contagious. We have grouchiness over here, and it too is contagious. It infects, and it's totally different way that it infects. You see, joy is one of those things that it infects in a way that attacks the grouchiness. Amen. It attacks it. But sometimes that grouchiness and that irritableness and that grumpiness is so strong that another person's joy can't touch it. Can I say that? I mean, you can give the most joyful person, put them with the most grouchy person, and it's probably just not going to work. I'd like to be a little more joyful in this, but that's how serious of a disease that grouchiness and anger, can I say it that way, that anger is. Oh yeah. It's a disease. It's a communicable disease that spreads. And it spreads faster than I think anything I've ever seen. It can ruin a man and ruin a family. It can ruin a work situation. Hey, it can ruin a church all day long. That's how fast it spreads. And the only joy that is strong enough, the only joy that is strong enough to overcome the grouchiness is not necessarily the joy that comes from somebody like me or somebody like you. That joy, the only joy that is strong enough is the joy of our Lord. That's why Jeremiah said, "It's the joy of the Lord is my strength." Oh yeah, He is my comforter. He is the one. And that is why Paul is saying here, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind of joyfulness, let this mind of humbleness, let this mind of having no reputation, because it's not about us. And the moment we begin to make it about us is the moment that we allow that grouchiness to come in. We allow that irritableness to come in, because what we say in our pride is, "I have been done wrong." Hold on a second. I mean, Has there been anyone that's been done wrong more than the Lord Jesus? And yet He humbled Himself. You see, these things are a choice. Joyfulness is a choice. Grouchiness is a choice. You need to make up your mind. Are you going to be joyful or are you going to be grouchy? Can I say it more like this? You're either going to be a joyful Christian or a grouchy Christian. Now, grouchy Christian, those two just don't go together, do they? Now, I think there may be people that don't know Christ as their Savior that may have some joy in their life and can be joyful. And so, not necessarily saying that just because someone has joy means they're a Christian. But what I am saying is somebody that's grouchy all the time and always has a spirit of grouchiness and is irritable and all of this is not displaying the spirit of Christ. And the mind of Christ is so far from them. So far from them. Bad-tempered and grumpy. Makes us very susceptible to anger. Make no friendship with an angry man. An angry man stirreth up strife. A furious man aboundeth in transgression. But Jesus said, I've given you these things that my joy might remain in you and that you may be full of joy. Once you go back to the beginning of Philippians chapter 2 and we'll bring this thing to a close. Remember how Paul starts this out? He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. That's the idea of consoling. Sometimes we need consoling. And if therefore there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, hold on, fulfill ye my, what? Joy. Fulfill ye my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let, there's that word again, let, that means let nothing. He's saying don't allow anything, don't permit anything, don't give power by your actions. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Where's that come from? Comes from pride and anger. But in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Grouchiness is selfishness. Joyfulness is giving. And yet they both spread. Isn't that amazing? You see, you have a mind to make up today. You're either going to be full of joy and share that joy by saying, you know what? I know this happened. And I know they said that or they did that, but you know, I've done some pretty awful things in my life to people. I'll let it go. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do something nice for them. You say, but they hurt you. Why would you do something nice for someone that hurt you? They hurt your feelings. They made you feel bad. Because it says, you know, in the Bible, if the Bible means anything to you, you know, it does say, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And that's not in a way of saying, oh, well, he has that and I wanted it. That's not what it's saying there. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It means don't look out for yourself. Watch out for everybody else. Then he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why do we have to do these things? Well, because that's what Jesus did. We're either going to be joyful Christians or we're going to be grouchy. I didn't put Christian on the end of that. You can be a joyful church member or you can be a grouchy church member. It's just the way it is. But it's up to you. It's your choice. I'm going to have joy. I choose joy. And I will tell you, there are times in my life, in my ministry, where I've chosen grouchiness. I have. I've chosen it. You can ask my wife. You can ask my children. Sometimes I choose grouchiness. And it's awful. But joyfulness? There's just something about it. There's just something about being full of joy. Being full of what Christ gives us. And I'm telling you, the only way we can overcome these things is with the joy of Christ. You can be joyful. You can be grouchy. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.